If you look around, you notice that there's all kinds of restoration going on in the city of Buffalo, and in the city of Niagara Falls, actually all over the place. You go on the Buffalo waterfront, it doesn't look like it did 10 years ago. It actually looks pretty nice. And they're doing all kinds of things that make it better for people to come and enjoy an afternoon or an evening there. They have all kinds of things going on. You're seeing homes restored. You're seeing neighborhoods restored, you know, to the original where they used to be. You're seeing old stuff being knocked down and new stuff being built back up. You're seeing it all over the place. Everywhere you go, you're seeing all kinds of restoration. You know, people buying buildings and not just changing the front of the building, which is the facade, but changing the whole interior, building it up from the ground up, everywhere. You know, and I was thinking about that a month ago. The Lord gave me the word restoration. And when you think about restoring and the work that it takes to restore, and the effort that it takes, and sometimes the funds that it takes, It's a big task. I don't know any of you that own homes, when you start to work on something, Pastor Tony knows it's all wrong. You think that it's just going to be this thing here. You think it's just going to be, oh, I just got to do this. I'm just changing the faucet. You know, no problem. Then you find out the hose is no good, the pipe's leaking, the drain's not working. It's always something else. It always leads to something else. It's more than you expect. So you can plan for something, but there's always surprises. There's always something that happens. I know it happens to me almost every single time, you know. I was helping my daughter out. She wanted lights in her sunroom, and we're trying to get the wire across this coming roof where there's no ceiling up there. And I'm trying to figure out how am I going to do this, you know. And it's one problem after another. The first light took me 2.5 hours. The second light took me 10 minutes. And once we found out how to do it, we found a way, it became easier. Right? So it always is something else. You know, restoration involves a lot of work. If you're a carpenter, and we have carpenters in this place, there's tools of the trade that you need. Sometimes you've got some rough places, you need to sand it down. Sometimes you've got to bore holes through things. Sometimes you've got to tear it all down and begin all over. Am I right, Pastor Tony? I mean, some people say, well, we want to do this. You know, like they say, oh, I'm going to wire this up. I'm going to electrician. So I'm going to put this light here. You don't want to stay in order for me to get that light there. I have to put a hole in the wall and in the ceiling in order to get light if there's nothing there. All right? It takes time. Right? So we're going to be talking about restoration. And I'm going to be sharing. I have so many scriptures that Ron was concerned about. Does he have enough room in there? And we only have 45 minutes, 40 minutes. We don't have 40 days or 40 years. So we're going to just highlight some things. And I want you, if you can, when you write this stuff down, take a look at these scriptures. Because they're so important. And if you read them, you'll find out why things are the way they are. You'll find out why it took so long for things to become the way they're supposed to be. Right? And why we as people
larger,
are the main reason why. Everybody wants to blame God. Ever hear this? If there was a God, how would we let this happen?
Because they need to scroll down. Right?
Yeah, I hear it all the time. I hear it from guys that work all the time. Well, if there's a God, why is there death and why is there killing? Why is it? You do know. God bless. Right? And we're going to see some of that right now. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful, Lord God, for your word. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that as I share the word that you have given me, Lord God, that it will bring insight into our hearts, Lord, into our lives. And Father, that someone will be touched, Lord God. And Father, this will be something that they can do, something that they can, that you can speak to their heart by your Spirit, Lord God. And teach them, Lord God, that we all of us, need to be restored in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm going to start in 2 Chronicles. And the reason I'm starting there, after Solomon died,
right, we don't have any verses.
There was many kings after him. And you're going to find when you read that, in fact, our daily devotions had a lot to do with 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah. If you read that, you know, sometimes it can get confusing, but you'll find a common theme at each one. All right? Each one has a common theme.
It should be.
Interesting that the common theme is that we are not being obedient. That was the common theme. Everything that happened to Israel was because the kings did not follow the laws and the decrees, the commandments of God. That's why they went to that tip, because they kept, this will be in God, and you know, we see it, we still see it today. We see it in all administrations and politics. They disobey the word of God, and this is what we have. We have all kinds of struggles going on because God is not honored like he should. But if we follow his laws and the things, happen. I always say 99% of the stuff wouldn't happen. Because everybody's
going to see it. Page.
The kings are not following the things of God. They start worshiping other gods, their idols, all over the place, as well, poles and stuff that they worship. And then all kinds of things they were doing, they were not following God, so they were following the king. The Babylonians came in, took over, and that was it. Now they're in slavery. And most of the people were killed. So we look here at a young man, 8 years old, Josiah. Was 8 years old. This is 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. When you read this, you're going to find out he did not do what was right in the Lord. He did right. You're going to find out which things did right and which things did wrong. Josiah did right
in the
eyes of the Lord. He did the right thing. In his 8th year of his reign, so he was 16 years old, he was a teenager. While he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 20th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places.
I don't think that will happen. No.
Purge them, and Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. Under his direction, the altar of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them, and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols and the images. Then he broke to pieces and scattered over the waves of those who had sacrificed them. He burned the bones of priests on their altars, so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. What he did is got rid of everything that was not God. That was his mandate. When he prayed to God, the Lord spoke to him and said, "No, this is the thing you need to go." You know, and when we learn on restoration, you have to think about what does God want you to do? And it shall want you to burn and throw away. What does God have in your life that needs to be restored? What that needs to be built back up? Right? And you know, we sing songs today that were amazing because I'm listening to these songs and thinking, oh my gosh, that's exactly what God is saying. And when he said, in this message of restoration, he's talking about coming back to him. What needs to be done in your life? What needs to be restored in your life so that you're closer to God? And you're wondering, okay, why do I need to be close to God? What difference does it make? I can still do what I can do, you know. Let me tell you what happens. When you read Chronicles and you go into Nehemiah, you're going to find something very interesting, right? That as long as you do the things that you want to do the way you want to do, I did it my way, all right? You're going to run into all kinds of issues. You're going to run into all kinds of problems. Not only you, but you'll find out when you read 2 Chronicles that their sons and their daughters had the same issues and even worse, but progressively got worse. Because when you follow anything outside of God, right, you're asking for trouble. That's what you're doing. You're asking for trouble. All right? And God's not going to honor you. He's not going to do anything because you keep following your own way. You have your own mind. You made a choice. Let me tell you something. God is a gentle God. He's also a just God. But he's also a God that gives you free choice. Right? And when you take that free choice and you use it to be against the Lord and do what you want to do, it never works out. It never works out. Never works out. And it progressively gets worse. And you, your family, and your children, they will pick that up and get worse and worse. You notice that it kind of ties into what's going on in our world today. First they say, okay, you can't, if you don't want this baby, you don't have to have it. Right? So what happened to this country? We lost about 60 million babies in this country in a little bit of think about that. Maybe even more. Right? Now they're saying, okay, now you can marry whoever you want. It doesn't matter. God says male and female. He didn't say the other way. He said male or female. But they're saying you can do whatever you want. What happens? It's progressively getting worse. Everything's getting worse. The word is not being taught. And the church is not being taught. People are afraid to speak the truth. You know, Pastor Tony is absolutely right. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Don't be afraid to say what God says. Or if God said, you said, God said, without causing a stink, it's a sin. You can't go any other way. And Nehemiah, chapters 1 and 2, I'm not going to read the chapters, it's going great. It's a long chapter, but I said, Nehemiah, the Lord spoke to Nehemiah and said, I need you to restore. I want you to go back to Jerusalem and restore.
So you know, it's a little chapter.
Right, it was destroyed by the Babylonians. Right? It's interesting that it was 4 months later before he went to the king. Now, God prepared the king's heart away and gave him everything he needed to go and do that job. He even provided the monies, the material, and the people, and protection to do that. See how God works? When God wants something restored, not only will he help you, he'll provide everything that you need. So if you're building a house, he'll provide the foundation, he'll provide the wood, he'll provide everything that you need, the workers, he'll provide them even to the smallest detail, the nails, even the staples that you use, the staple to wear, he provides everything. God gave provisions for Nehemiah for everything he needed to build that, those walls, to build the gates at first. Right? And it's interesting that how God works in our lives. When he's trying to restore something, right, he's right there with you. He wants us to be restored. You know, the first thing that is interesting, that people have already mentioned today, that the first thing he starts with is your spirit. He restores your spirit. Right? It's interesting that he does that for us. Because your heart's got to be right with God before you can begin the restoration, before you can begin changing things that are in your life that need to be changed. Let me tell you something, you don't have to believe me, you don't have to believe what I'm saying, but believe the word of God, it'll convict you. And it's things that all of us, I don't care who you are, all of us need something changed, something restored, so that our hearts are back where it belongs. Right? When he does that, there's an amazing thing that happens. You start seeing it in your family. You start seeing the Spirit of God start resting on your kids. And you start seeing them do things that you never thought were possible. You never dreamed of. And you work so hard and did everything in your mind to raise them up in the way they should go. And then God takes over and all of a sudden just seem to go. Right on that path they're supposed to be. Right? Because God is there restoring everything. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, you know what God promises us. It's verses 1 through 13. God promises us that when we start doing that and we turn our hearts to him, see, we can turn our hearts to him first. Guess what happens? Prosperity follows. You know what that means? It doesn't mean we're going to be rich. It does not mean that. It means that the blessings of God will follow you because you're walking in his way, in his path. He has led the path for you, and now the blessings of God will follow you. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more beautiful than a blessing from God. Right? A blessing comes in all sorts of things. Very small, like Lucan, 7 pounds, 6 ounces, right? Or they come very large, you know, large things like God will give a building or something. You've been praying for a building, a bigger building for parking here. God can do that. Right? And if you don't believe that doesn't happen, then you need to open your eyes because God does it always, all the time. All around us, he's doing it. And he can do it right here. I want you to understand that God can restore any situation at any time, right, when our hearts are right with him. Because then he's released and got our spirits in the right place. All of a sudden, everything starts flowing down. His blessing starts flowing down. And provision is provided, and then we see it in our families flowing down. I know how difficult it is when you're raising children. And I know how difficult it can be. Maybe that's why I'm not here. But anyways, I know that God is always in there. God is in there all the time. And I know that I cried out to him and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. How can I restore my family to where it's supposed to be? How can I get my children that are adults to know that you exist, that you're alive? You know the first thing he said to me? Take your hands off. Take your hands off. It's my job. Right? I'm sending my spirit. He's going to take care of it. Take your hands off. You need to trust me. You're saying something about trusting me. You need to trust me. You know how hard it is to let go? You know how difficult it is to say, okay, you got it. You know, I don't know if anybody has ever done that, or ever been through that, but, okay, God, you got it. And you know what, we don't go back and take it back and say, no, no, well, you're not doing that way. We gotta leave it alone. All right, we gotta trust God. God spoke to me that clearly and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a man of good character. I want you to show him what it's like to be a husband, a father, being faithful and committed to your wife and to your family. That's what I want you to do. All the rest I'm going to do. It's okay. I'll do that. I'll do the best I can. And God started restoring not only our lives, but our people's lives and our families. Right? Because a blessing flows down. Right? It just follows you. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13. Am I going too fast, Ron? You good?
Find it.
I'm highlighting these things here. Right? David cries out.
I feel like you missed a ton of verses.
For the Lord and instructions. Never try. I never get something and then we've got instructions how to put it together and you think, I'm not going to follow instructions how to do this. And you always find pieces left over. And I remember one time I got a roll top desk for Nancy. And it was Everybody remember brand names? I got up with brand names. That thing weighed about 500 pounds. I had to carry it piece by piece. And I put it all together, and I had these pieces left over. I just kind of skimmed over the instructions, didn't really pay attention. And in order for me to get that piece of
that
back,
What's the planning on reading it on the screen?
What the heck with all that?
I started at night, and I finished at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't think I'm going to do that. See? When we follow our own
Spanish.
You always remember the problem, you forget something. God doesn't forget anything. His instructions are always 100% correct. And nothing's ever going to fail. His instructions are always on the money. It's going to work, it's not going to fall apart. When you sit in it, it's not going to fall apart. You know, and when you lose it, it's going to break down, it's going to last for a long time. Because we're following his instructions. See, that's what was going on. The kings did not want to follow his instructions. They wanted to do the things they wanted to do. They wanted to do it their way. And they ended up costing lives. And costing years and years before the people of Israel were able to come back to the temple to worship God. Now we're talking about a temple here. And you know what? A temple is here. This is the temple we're talking about right now. Not a building, right? But this temple. God is trying to restore this temple. Right? Your spirit, your heart. Your life to make a difference. Right? To make a difference not only for your life but for your life. In Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, it talks to us about how we are to interact with other people that maybe have you know that are in sin. And I'm going to tell you something. When I first became a Christian, one of the first things that really bothered me. Is when people were having difficulties or in sin, other people were pointing their fingers at them, saying, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. You know,
we only have Galatians.
Listen. You know, they were like hounding or bothering them. Knowing that I'm a sinner, and if someone came to me like that, I wouldn't be too happy. It would not be gentle remarks coming back. Right? I needed someone to stand with me and hold me and just tell me, you know, God loves you. God is there for you.
Verse 23.
Gentleness, mercy, right? It goes a long way, right? Because all of us can be under the judge of even the name or list of things that have been wrong in our lives. And, you know, if you want that kind of judge, then it's going to be so strict, there's no mercy shown. Instead, God said, you know, your sins are thrown into the sea for forgiveness. Right? You feel like such a release, such freedom. Right? It's important to be gentle to people that are sinners. It's important to show them that Christ is merciful. That Christ is showing mercy to people. That he's not just condemning God. Right? He's going to show you a way out. Right? He restores your soul. and the stones are still. He builds in front of the foundation, and the foundation is on top of the stones. And the physical body is solid, right? So that you see God work, and there's a plan there. His plan for us is to be restored to him, to be, go back. You know, restoration means to restore or bring back to the original form that it was in before, all right? And when God made us, think about who God first made us. Was our original form. We were happy. We didn't need anything. No disease, no sickness, no glasses, all kinds of hair. You know, all, we had everything we needed, all right? You didn't need anything, right? You lacked nothing. Right? We restored back to that. Think about that, right? That's what we, that he wants us to restore to everything that he has to us. And he has a plan for each one of us. Right? That's what he wants. Right? He's not, he doesn't want to see you suffer. That wasn't his plan. That was the enemy's plan. That's not his plan. God's plan was for you to prosper. God's plan was for you to be happy, to glorify him, to worship him. You know, one of the things that I do miss about Kingdom Mountain is being able to worship with all the people there. I miss that part. I don't miss the preparation. I don't miss all the work that's involved and all the time that's involved. I don't miss being exhausted coming home, right? But I miss the worship. I miss that part so much because that's what we're called to do, to worship God. I don't know if you, I don't know if anybody here, when we start to worship, it's like taking me to a different level. It's like, oh my gosh, and I can hear God speaking to me, and I can hear, see things, and I'm able to pray for people because God gives me insight for that, you know. Psalm 23:3 says, he restores my soul. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You see how it goes? God guides you. Right? He guides you. You don't go on your own. He shows you the way. You know, it's like, so you go on an airport and they have these lights down there. When the plane's dark, you have the lid so you can see where you're going. Okay? So you don't fall into someone's lap. Right? And God shows you the way. He lights the path for you. It might be a narrow path, but it's lit. Right? And he shows us the way. That's what he does for us. That's what he wants for us. Psalm 71, verses 20 and 21. I had a hard time. I was like Pastor Tony. I kept getting new scriptures, and I said, I've got to stop. There's too many. And it's just showing you different things that God, his word is so full of answers. Every time you turn around, and you start reading, oh my gosh, that's awesome, I've got to read this one. Oh my gosh, by the time I was finished, I had about 3 pages of scriptures. I said, oh, that's not going to work, so that's too many. But that's how God is so concerned about us, right? That he shows us numerous ways, right? He shows us in his word. Listen to this, this is really neat. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. He's talking about David. You know that David went through all these troubles, right? You know that David had a hard time in some things. And because of what he did, remember, his family suffered. His family, his son suffered. His daughter suffered. They all suffered because of his sin. But God restored him. How about Peter? Peter denied Christ 3 times. And then he restored. And Jesus came back to him and said, Peter, do you love me? He said it 3 times. He denied him 3 times. Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? Be my sheep. And God is asking you, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you really want to follow what he has for you? Do you want to obey his commands and do it his way, follow his instructions, which are in this book right here? And maybe anybody can have the same book and read the same instructions. He has it right there for us. Or would you rather do it your way and see where that takes you? God has a plan. 1 Peter 5:10. There's always struggles in life. Always struggles. Life involves struggle, suffering, all right? If you live, you're going to run into problems. If you can breathe, there's always something going to be opposite of you, all right? There's going to be pain. You're going to have pain. You're going to have struggles in families. You're going to have struggles in marriages. You're going to have struggles at your workplace. You're going to have struggles financially. That's part of life. That's part of life. You know what? It helps us to grow up, too. You know? When you're young, you never think about these things. So young folks out there that, you know, mom and dad have been taking care of you all these years, and then you're going to go out on your own, you're going to find out why they tell you not to eat the whole box of cereal. Because it costs $4 or something since then. Right? And you're going to learn why you need to have some money put away, saved for a rainy day. You're going to learn all those things. You're going to learn what it really costs. Because everything was handed to you, and now reality hits. Right? And you start having to pay for everything yourself. It's a different story. Everybody knows the scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And I really just showed before, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, it will be found by me, declares the Lord. Notice what he says. When you seek me. Right? So when you're seeking God, one of the first things you're going to do is you're crying out. I don't know about you guys, but when I seek God sometimes, I'm not saying God, I need help. I just think, I need your help here. I don't know what to do. I'm calling on you. I rest my head on your shoulders. Right? God has a plan for all of us. I don't care who you are, how old you are, God has a plan for you. And he wants to use you. You know what? Because it's nice to be together here in church, but the church is outside these walls. That's the real church outside these walls. And when you walk out these doors, when you see people that don't know Christ, and they're walking in the ways of the world, right, we can be that light. Right? We can be something that's different, something that's calming, something that's real, something that's constant. Right? Because that's what we show. And you know what? You don't have to preach to people, believe me. You don't have to preach to them. God brings them to you, and they ask you, how can you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know, how are you able to stay married for so long? How can you be married to one person all that time? You know? And it's all because of God. And so that gives me an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ. Without him, I am nothing. With him, I am with him, and he walks by my side. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. Does he pick me up? Yep, he does. Does he sometimes, you know, chastise me? Yes. And that's what we do as parents, isn't it? Our children make a misstep, we try to guide them, we pick them up, we teach them what the way they should go, all right? And we teach them what they should be doing. God does the same thing to us. Here's the truth. You know, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. You know, Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. I always tell Nancy, she must be in the middle of Jeremiah because she's always weeping. But that's a good thing.
Songs.
Because she weeps because she wants God to be involved in her life. And for her to be an example of God's love for us. And she tries so hard and she takes it to heart. So I call her my Jeremiah because she weeps so much. Jeremiah says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to hand the city over to the Babylonians and to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who will
catch you. Past
it. Yeah. Right? And that's because of their sins. That's because they disobeyed. Now he's handing them over. Okay, you want to go your way? This is what's going to happen. And you know what? He told them, he sent person after person prophet after prophet to warn the people that this was going to happen. They didn't believe it. And Bible study, you know, whenever we talk about the prophecies, you know, people don't believe the things that are about to happen. Well, God, not only are they in the stars, but God uses the word of God here, and he uses people to tell us this is what happened. Right? And people don't want to hear. They just don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Right? And it's going to happen. That's why they were in captivity. Because this disobeyed God continuously. Not just for a day or two, but for year after year after year, and progressively got worse. Now, can you imagine what they did? They defiled the temple. They defiled God. They put idols near the temple. They did all these things. And you look at that and say, look, and you see that today. People are doing things that, you know, they just say, okay, I don't care about anything. And that's the attitude. You need to have the opposite attitude. I care. I care about what's going on. I care about what I represent, what my character is, what people see in me. I care about that. I care about what God, most of all, not what just people think. You know what? The people can like you or dislike you. That's their choice. But I care about what God says. I care about what he says in his word. People, all the time when you say something, and they say, well, what do you think is wrong? And when you tell them the truth, they go, no, I can't be that. No, it's not that. It's not that. It's that. You're having problems because you're unfaithful. You tell them. I just speak the truth. I just tell them. And people tell me, you know, they're married and they have marital problems. And then I said, you know what? Take a look in the mirror. Who do you see? That's all. See me. That's the person that's got to change. That's the person that's got to change. That's the problem. Right? And then you tell them they don't hear. You know, you don't want to hear the truth sometimes. But God has a way of showing us. Isaiah 58. He sums it up. Isaiah sums it up. It's so awesome. Are you still with me? Are you getting anything out of this? Good. Sometimes I just, when God gives me a word, I just think about, I've been thinking about this for a couple months. And it gives me a situation, I keep hearing it all around, I keep seeing it around me. God wants to restore his church to his glory, the way it should be. Right? He wants his church, which is not just here, but all the churches in Christ, restored. He wants to build that because he needs to use us. But he can do whatever he wants by himself, but we need to be used of God so that we can go out and bring people. Because time is coming. Right, Ray? Time is coming. Right? And signs are in the heavens. The signs are in the word. Time is coming. It's long short. Right? And if you guys think that, oh, we got lots of time. Right? We got all kinds of time. I'm a grandfather now. And I said, how did that happen? I still remember my daughter being 2 years old, curly hair, blonde, curly hair. She had blonde hair. And my son with his blonde hair. You know, when they were little, until they got darker, right? But I still remember that. Sometimes I still see him like that, you know? They would look at your daughter and look at her and say, how did that happen? You know, she's married, she has two kids. Oh my gosh, she's a mom, you know? I'm a grandfather. The time goes quicker. Right? You can't wait. So I'm waiting for the appropriate time. I hear this all the time. I'm going to wait. I know God will forgive me, right? And he will, right? Until last moment, the 11th hour. I know God's going to forgive me. And I know that you know, I can just do what I want to do. But how do you know when time is? How do you know when your time here on earth is gone? And you wait it, and then you do it, and you say, God. And God calls you. And he uses people, he uses situations, he uses everything around us to tell us it's not this time. We can't wait. We have a habit of waiting too long to answer God's call. This is what Isaiah says. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called a repair of broken walls. Restore the streets and dwelling. we talked a little bit about this and
okay,
we asked about now the mountains being under
video is like hitting a little bit.
Restoring things to where they should be, right? There's a process. Everything involves a process for a small business. Everything that we do involves a process. Whether we need sandpaper to smooth out the rough edges, or we need a level to make sure we're on level ground, right? To make sure that our foundation is built the way it should be. If you build something on level, everything else will be on level. So if your life is out of whack, everything that follows will be out of whack. If your spirit and your heart is out of whack, your physical body will be out of whack, right? Everything needs to be in line. And the only way you can do that is to be in the Lord. God is all about restoration. He's all about restoring lives. He's all about restoring what He has given us. That's what He's all about. But He wants us to follow one important rule. Obey my laws and my decrees, and I will bless you. Obey. It's a tough word sometimes. You know? Growing up, you know, we hear your parents say, you need to be obedient. You know, I remember my dad saying to me, son, listen to what I tell you, right? Because it's the right thing. If you listen, you'll learn a lot and save you from a lot of trouble. Right? Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. And when I didn't, I paid the price. I paid a heavy price, you know? And my dad would just look at me and he would just nod his head. He never said, I told you so. He never said that to me. He just nodded his head and said, now are you ready to listen? You know, and I admire that for my dad because he taught me a lot. You know? And if I'm thinking about the path that I could have taken, if I would have done things my way, and God puts people in front of me that allow me to walk the path that God has set before me. And if it wasn't for them, you know, I might not be where I am today. You know? Because God sent people. You know, my dad, my mom, my friends, right there. And then that was an instance where I listened and obeyed. Right? And then as I grew older, right, I started to seek the Lord when I was in my 30s. I started to seek God. I mean, I was always a person of God. I knew God existed. I knew Jesus was real. I knew that. In my heart, I knew that. But I had problems with certain aspects of the church that I belonged to that just didn't seem to fit. Now I know why, because it wasn't meant to be. God was showing me, no, this is not what it's all about. It's not about these kind of things. It's not about these statues. It's not about this, you need to do this all the time. It's about me, about Jesus Christ. And so when I found that out, Pastor Tony said, well, remember your first love. That hit me. That really hit me when he said that, because it's so true. We've forgotten our first love. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves the people of God, right? But we have forgotten our first love, right? That opens me, right? We're not walking the ways that He set before us, and we're asking Him to restore something that is not right before Him. And God won't do that. He won't do it. We need to have mercy. God is a God that's merciful, graceful, loving, kind, and He knows exactly what to do in our lives. He knows every instance of every person here. Lord, we need to be healthy. I'm putting myself in every situation, down to the smallest little bit. But in creating an image, the smallest thing. We'll see it all the time. Something doesn't work, and it's the littlest thing. People, I'm in a maintenance electrician, so people always go for the big things all the time when there's a problem. You know, oh, it's got to be, you know, I always say, go back to the beginning. Go back to the simplest thing. Simplest thing, you don't have power. Right? If you don't have power, nothing else is going to work. Always go to the simplest thing. We always tend to go to the highest thing. But you know what's important? When you think about that, go and make sure that you have power. Who? Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We need that for our guidance in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. That's who guides us. That's what He's for. Right? That's what He's there for, to guide us. I picked the song up. It was a very familiar song that really spoke to me when I was doing this message. And I want you to listen to the song. And as you listen to the song, let the Lord God Spirit just speak to your hearts. Speak to your hearts where you need help, where I need help. In the areas that we need to be restored closer to God. Right? All these young people are coming back from Kingdom Island. I always warn our kids, be prepared as soon as you step foot outside of that safe zone, right, the enemy is going to attack you. He's going to hit you hard. And he's going to come at you with force because he does not want you to take the Spirit of God with you back home. You see, it's not home with you. And stay there. It's not a situation, it's not a building, it's not a place. But it needs to be in here. But when it's in here, it goes everywhere you go. It doesn't depend on somebody else, or somebody else's song, or somebody else's message. It depends on Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do. So I want you to listen to the song. And if you feel the need, right, to go up there and just call on God, please do so. And afterwards, if you need prayer, or you need to talk about something, I'll be here, Pastor Tony will be here, Sister Nancy will be here, Brother Kevin's here, alright? These are people that know God and understand God, okay? And we will just pray with you. And that's the Spirit of God and giving help that you need. It's the five tools that you need to be restored to your former place, your first life.
Go for it.